Hello, I'm Joel Hughes.
And I'm Aurora Alexander.
And this is the Psychology Pathways Podcast.
We help busy psychology students succeed.
It has been over a year since the last Psychology Pathways podcast. And there's a couple reasons for that. First, there's the pandemic. I really have been extremely busy in my administrative roles and teaching and research at my university job. And it's been almost impossible to carve out time to do podcasting. And secondly, I'm now the director of clinical training for the clinical psychology doctoral program at Kent State University. And I'm not the undergraduate curriculum coordinator anymore. And so my job has shifted to taking care of the doctoral program, and I'm just less involved in undergraduate education. And I guess thirdly, my co-host, Aurora Alexander, accepted a position at another university. And so that wonderful repartee in our opening discussions is lost forever. And so that kind of killed my motivation. However, I have to bring you this podcast because I'm so excited. I'm always on the lookout for career opportunities for psychology majors. And I found one that a lot of people don't know about that's absolutely available. And so I'm going to bring you my interview with Dr. Michael Leslie, who is the coordinator of the Clinical Rehabilitation Counseling Program at Kent State University. And if you're not at Kent State University, that's okay. These programs are all over the country and they're a good deal. And so just listen to the podcast and I think you'll understand that if you're interested in being a counselor and you want a master's degree, this is a fantastic time to apply because given the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of enrollments are down across the country. And so anyone who will pay tuition to get a master's degree is in high demand for universities right now, for the most part. And it's just not as competitive as the clinical psychology PhD. It's way less competitive, and yet it's a good deal. And so with no further ado, I bring you my interview with Dr. Michael Leslie. So I'm here with Dr. Michael Leslie, who is the coordinator for the master's level clinical rehabilitation counseling program here in counselor education at Kent State University. And I got some questions. You know, my first question is, what is clinical rehabilitation counseling?
That's a great question, Dr. Hughes. And that's a question we get a lot. I think that's one of the things that might be a barrier for a lot of students looking into this field to figure out what exactly is this and what do you do with this? I'll start off by saying clinical rehabilitation counselors serve individuals with disabilities across the lifespan. We have a particular focus in working in career and vocational side of mental health. We still work with individuals with mental health disorders. We work with individuals who have substance use disorders, but we also specialize in what people might traditionally see as more nursing related type things, like physical disabilities, chronic illness, those type of things. And so I think when you put it all together, there's, and we can talk about this more as we go on, but there's a variety of different settings that a rehab counselor can work in. But if we're trying to summarize it, what is clinical rehab counseling? We provide comprehensive, holistic wellness services and inclusion services to people with disabilities across the lifespan, really starting from the time they're in adolescence through retirement age.
Okay, so the stereotype is all of my clients will be profoundly intellectually impaired, mm-hmm. and they're all going to have Down syndrome or, be at a care facility somewhere, mm-hmm. and it's very special education. And mm-hmm. you're saying that's not true?
That's not necessarily true, no. Now, there's certainly people that go into our field that want to specialize in working with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. They might really enjoy working with that population. And there's certainly jobs available in that field. However, a majority of people that go into our field do not do that type of work. The other two stereotypes we get quite often is this is addictions counseling, or this is rehab as in like correctional facility, people in the criminal justice system rehab. Now, there's certainly work we do with those populations as well, but that is just a very subset of the people that rehab counselors work with.
Okay, so I'm going to throw out some examples and tell me yes or no, that could be rehabilitation counseling.
Sure.
And so Johnny gets in a motorcycle accident and he needs to get back to work someday.
100%, that's rehab counseling.
Someone has a stroke and they need to figure out how to live their life again.
Absolutely, rehab counseling.
somebody is aging out of the foster care system and they've had a mild developmental disability. Maybe they're a little bit autistic and they got to figure out how to succeed in school and life.
You got it. Rehab counseling.
Someone got hurt at work and they're in the workers' compensation system and they don't know what their next job is going to be.
Rehab counseling.
Someone had cancer and now they just don't have the strength to do the warehouse job anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely rehab counseling. People don't necessarily understand the physical health implications of somebody who survived cancer. And that's actually a population where there's a lot of room for growth because those individuals don't interface with the vocational rehab system nearly as much as we know they could benefit from it. So that's an area where the field is looking to continue to grow and expand.
Okay, and so what about someone has a traumatic brain injury and they one of the things that happens, they end up very depressed.
Yeah.
Rehabilitation counseling.
Yeah, on two different levels, right? It's you're doing rehabilitation counseling, adjusting to life after TBI, which is a very intensive psychosocial process, and also trying to figure out academics or employment, but also you're dealing with depression, and rehab counselors also specialize in serving individuals that strictly with mental health diagnoses. And so you would be working with them on multiple different levels and maybe even throw in a substance use disorder there as well, right?
At one point, the number one cause of disability in the world was major depressive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true anymore, but that would fall under rehabilitation counseling potentially.
Absolutely.
And you're also saying that there's a lot of different subfields that you may not even recognize until you get there.
100%.
And you could probably build a niche for yourself. If you wanted to be the person that understood the transition from pediatric to adult care for people with, say, sickle cell disease,
mm-hmm.
who had to learn to cope with chronic pain, mm-hmm. and also be successful at work and at school,
mm-hmm.
that could be a rehabilitation counselor that picks up that niche and says, I'm going to be the person that knows how to do that.
100%.
And so how is this not just exactly the same as mental health counseling?
Yeah, that's a great question. On the one hand, people who graduate from our master's program in clinical rehabilitation counseling are eligible for license as a licensed professional counselor in the state of Ohio going through our program, and they could also get licensed in other states. So theoretically, you come through our program, you could be doing the same work as somebody in the clinical mental health field with a specialization in disability studies and disability issues and vocational issues. What a lot of clinical mental health counselors miss are the health, physical, and chronic illness side of what's going on with an individual. And we really specialize in employment, housing, independent living, and inclusion, accommodations in the workplace, accommodations in schools. And so a lot of mental health counselors don't get specialized training in those areas. Sometimes they don't even address employment. Now, we have people in the mental health field that specialize in career counseling, but they tend to go into their own career counseling niche. So this is really an interesting combination, if you will, of working, having a specialization in physical, mental health, chronic illnesses, and also understanding the mental health implications of just plain mental health and co-occurring conditions that go along with some of these physical conditions.
Now, is there a license for rehabilitation counseling?
So it is not a license, it's a certification.
And so you're a certified rehabilitation counselor.
A CRC, that's right. Certified Rehabilitation Counselor, that's a national certification. It's good anywhere you go in the United States. And so individuals that graduate from our program are eligible to get their CRCs and they're eligible to get licensed as professional counselors, which we think is just a very, very, very advantageous thing for a student to come out of a program with two credentials and marketable, and they're able to really identify where they want to go and kind of make that a reality. There's a lot of existing jobs, but I'm also seeing a lot of people that are kind of carving out their own niche based on their interests and using those credentials to find service opportunities in those areas.
So someone could be a double threat with the LPC and the CRC.
Absolutely.
But people also have substance abuse problems.
100%. In fact, people with disabilities are 2 to 4 times more likely to have substance use disorders And so if you find, how do most people get started on substance use? Maybe they have a mental health issue. Maybe they have a physical or a chronic pain condition, which might lead them to taking painkillers, might eventually lead down the road to addiction. So there's a lot of instances where a addiction or a substance use disorder might start with a mental health disorder or a physical disability, which individuals with this degree would then specialize in understanding kind of the intersection of those things.
And so could they also get a CDCA or chemical dependency certificate assistant kind of a credential along the way?
They absolutely could. That's a great point, Dr. Hughes. So individuals who have an LPC, if you have competencies in substance use disorders, in other words, if you've taken training, which we offer training to our students in substance use disorders, you can practice as a substance use disorder counselor. However, we also have another licensing board in the state of Ohio that offers chemical dependency counselor licensure specifically. And so that is another thing you could pursue. What we're really excited about within our program is we have an addiction certificate that students to our program, if they wanted to take some additional courses, could also get an addiction certificate through our master's program, and they could really be a triple threat.
Wow, and so that takes 11 years of school.
No. So our program typically takes about 2.5 years of full-time work. If you wanted to pursue the additional classes in substance use, it would add about a semester to your coursework tops. Some students can even build that into the 2.5 years if they'd like to. Typically, it's about 2 years of coursework and one semester of internship. Some students like to split that across two semesters, so do two semesters of part-time internship work. But we offer both options.
But what kind of career outlook are we really looking at for someone that is a clinical rehabilitation counselor?
That's a great question. So if you do a labor market search, which is actually something we train students how to do in our field,
because they have to. It's part of their job.
Yeah, it's part of their job. You have to work with consumers and figure out what fields have growth opportunities and if it's available in the area you live in. What's interesting and probably not surprising is pretty much everywhere you go in the United States, there's people with disabilities and they have service needs. So this is a field that continues to grow. And there's high demand for qualified professionals in the field. There's so much demand that agencies have resorted to sometimes hiring people that don't have the training and sending them back to school to get the training. But they prefer when people come out with the training. I get sent job leads locally in Northeast Ohio all the time. I get sent job leads in Texas, Colorado, Massachusetts. We have conferences. There's constantly states that are recruiting for rehab counselors. So Virginia, California, North Carolina, specifically the last conference I went to, they had tables set up. They were just begging for people to come and work in the field. And like I said, in Northeast Ohio, pretty much every other week, I get more job leads from people asking me, hey, do you know anybody in the field that's able to do this? Do you have any students that are interested in this type of work? So there are tons of jobs out there. Again, if you do the labor market search, you'll see that it is a high growth opportunity area. And it's a place where a lot of the jobs are in areas where people are getting really good benefits too. So not only is the pay good, people are a lot of times in public governmental jobs where they're getting those benefits that are really nice to have too.
So I've never had a class in economics, but I understand supply and demand.
Yeah.
And so if there's a high demand, and that must mean that the wages have gone up because there's not enough supply of clinical rehabilitation counselors right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But your program is probably completely full.
No, we're actually not full. That is a great point. You'd think they would be. Our biggest barrier is getting the word out that this is what some people have described in some ways as a hidden gem. There are opportunities here, and it's just we don't have an undergraduate program. There are very few undergraduate programs in rehab counseling across the country. And so a lot of people don't get to hear about us. And so we're doing the best we can to spread the word and let people know that this is a potential opportunity for people that are interested in working with individuals, specifically individuals across the lifespan that have disabilities. There's all kinds of different specialized populations or subsets that you can go into. So we're actively recruiting individuals into our program, and we'd love to speak with people who are interested and might want to do this work.
So paint us a picture of like maybe of the top 10 kinds of employers, what are a couple or maybe three of the kinds of places that hire clinical rehabilitation counselors?
Yeah. That's it's hard to do because there's so many different types of opportunities. But if I would to try to say here are the most popular areas where someone might go, let's just start with the state of Ohio. This is called something different in every state, but every state has what's called a state federal vocational rehabilitation program. In Ohio, ours is called Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities, and it's called OOD or OOD. I don't know who thought about that, but I don't know that they had a marketing degree. However, that's what they call it, OOD. And OOD hires tons of individuals that come out of our programs.
So they're state jobs.
It's a state
job. Because they have to have these programs.
They have to have these programs. It's mandated. Every state has them. They're in every county. Individuals, some counties serve multiple. So here, locally, there's an office in Akron that serves the greater Akron area, including Portage County here where we're at, Kent State. There's one in Canton, there's one in Cleveland. What people do is they go in and they work for OOD. Sometimes they specialize. So some people work transition. They might be placed in a high school and they work hand in hand with students with disabilities that are transitioning from high school either to post-secondary education or to employment. We actually have a new group of individuals that are called college to careers counselors that work at colleges across the state. We have one right here on Kent State's campus who works with individuals who are going to college as they A, do their college work, and B, transition out of college, hopefully into the workforce. And we also have specialty counselors across the state that work in a variety of areas. Some work strictly with mental health. Some work in specifically with individuals who have addiction issues. Some individuals specialize in sensory disabilities. So we have rehab counselors for individuals who are blind, rehab counselors for individuals who are deaf. We have a whole separate section of OOD that's dedicated to serving individuals with visual impairment and blindness called BSVI, or the Bureau of Services for the Visually Impaired.
But it also sounds like you found a side door into a school where you don't have to be a child psychologist or a school psychologist.
Absolutely.
And you can still get in if what your specialty is transitioning from, let's say, high school to college, or college to career, mm-hmm. or succeeding in college.
Yep.
There are the people who have the needs in this area because they have a disability that qualifies mm-hmm. or need your services, and you have the state helping pay for that. So
absolutely.
It's not, they don't have to come and pay out of pocket.
100%. It is a free service.
And that's just
that's
one
provided.
Of the employers. What about, you mentioned that one of the stereotypes is corrections.
Yep.
Are correctional facilities another employer?
Yeah, absolutely. They're an employer. And a lot of times, people are employed by agencies that oversee the transition out of corrections back into the community. So that's perhaps a larger employer. I'd love to see our corrections facility do a better job of transitioning people, but typically these agencies are in charge of a lot of the transition that happens yeah. once people are released from incarceration. And so a lot of that happens at the local agencies who hire individuals with rehab counseling backgrounds. Another big employment area is workers' compensation.
Yeah.
So for individuals that
acquired
might be
disabilities.
Acquired disabilities, 100%. So individuals that might be interested in doing industrial work or working in that type of arena, workers' comp, hire a lot of individuals to provide these services to people who are in the workers' compensation system. And so individuals might work for locally a company that provides these services, and they would work one-on-one with individuals who are either looking to return to their old jobs, or if they're too disabled in some way, shape, or form to return to their old job, they might be working with them to try to help them find another job at the same company. We have what's called a return to work hierarchy, where we do same employer, different job, same job, different employer, different job, different employer. So that's kind of the hierarchy we work down through with people in this industrial system, where we're trying to help them get back to work as soon as possible. We know the value of work from a mental health perspective is immense.
Yes.
You know, it provides security. It provides kind of a natural de-stressor for people.
A purpose.
Housing opportunities come with being able to have a paycheck, right?
Mm-hmm.
A purpose, a sense of wellness. A lot of the research into well-being will say that one of the most important facets of well-being is career well-being. And if that is down, we see a spillover effect into other aspects of people's life. And so what we do is employment related, but we really see it as treating individually holistically and working on overall wellness.
So a clinical rehabilitation counselor is kind of a cross between a mental health counselor and a career counselor and a kind of a healthcare system navigator sometimes, and even maybe a little bit social work.
You articulated that better than I could have. Yeah, that is a mouthful, but it really is this niche field. That's why sometimes it can be really demanding, because you have to speak so many different languages, right? You have to be able to work with the PM, the physical medicine rehabilitation physicians. You have to be able to work with occupational therapists and physical therapists. You have to be able to work with the speech language pathologists and the audiologists. You have to be able to work with the mental health counselors, the social workers, the case managers, etc., nurses, psychiatric nurses. So it really is a bridge between a lot of different specialty areas, but it's something that very few people have competencies across the board in those things.
I call that interprofessional competencies.
Absolutely.
Because you're working in a multi-professional scene. And I also would suggest, just based on my ignorance, that probably you don't have to know everything, because probably you'll find your specialty, which maybe is motor vehicle accidents and return to work, or transition from high school to college. And once you've got your niche, there's like a certain area of the landscape you have to understand, but you can't know everything.
You're absolutely right.
Maybe you're in a hospital, maybe you're at workers' comp, maybe you're at the OOD, maybe you're in corrections, but wherever you end up, you get the foundation in graduate school. And then there's probably lifelong learning to keep being able to answer that perennial question, which is, okay, where do I go next?
That's absolutely right. You know, and as someone who is also a licensed mental health counselor myself, you know, that happens in mental health too, right? We prepare people the best we can with a foundation, and then there's a lot of on-the-job learning. And with rehab counseling, whatever population you decide is most interesting to you, there's a lot of on-the-job learning. So we really like to say that we provide somebody with a very thorough foundation in our master's program. And it's very practical too, right? We give them a lot of practical experiences throughout the program, experiences in the counseling center, experiences in the field. We have multiple practicum experiences, one at our counseling center, one in the field at a rehab agency. And then we have a 600-hour internship that people complete. And we think that based on our coursework and our practical kind of the culmination of that coursework being these practical experiences, that we're preparing people with a foundation. But like you said, there's lifelong learning that has to happen especially in these fields.
And so there's probably more than one clinical rehabilitation counseling program in the country.
Yeah.
We're here in Kent, Ohio, but if you're in California, is there one there too, maybe?
100%, yeah. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 to 130 master's programs in clinical rehab counseling across the country.
Okay.
That's not a ton, but they're definitely available everywhere.
But the special feature of yours is that you can get the CRC, you can get the licensed professional counselor if you set it up correctly, and you can get the CDCA, or the equivalent of a chemical dependency. You could come out with multiple credentials, because we just happen to have all of those at Kent State.
Absolutely.
And you have room.
We have room.
You're not 100% full.
We have room. Yeah. And, you know, from my perspective, the individuals that are graduating from our program are extremely marketable because of those credentials. And not just because of the credentials. The credentials are there because the foundational knowledge is there.
Yeah.
Right? So we're providing the program, which provides the foundational knowledge, which allows people to get these credentials. And we think that they're going into the field with a lot of job opportunities, and employers are excited to see that people are being trained in these different areas, because you can't isolate people in a box, right? People are coming in and everybody is very complex. They have a complex set of psychosocial stressors that they're dealing with. And when you have an individual going into those settings that is prepared to deal with people holistically, employers love that. And so that's why individuals that are graduating from our program are doing extremely well, because they're set up to assist individuals really holistically.
So if I'm a psychology major listening to this, now I'm intimidated, because it sounds so good that I must have to have a 3.9 and 90th percentile on the GREs. I mean, how hard is it to get in?
Yeah, I mean, I could totally understand why you might have that perspective. we accept individuals. Our cutoff is a 3.0, and we are currently, like I said, actively recruiting individuals. Certainly, you know, it is competitive. However, we like to think that a lot of people that would like to work in our field are able to get into our program and work in our field. There is a shortage, like I said, of qualified professionals in our field. And so for us, we're concerned about somebody showing competency to be able to do graduate work, you know, and we think if you've went through an undergraduate program, like a program in psychology, and you've demonstrated that you can come through, get A's and B's and do really well, we're excited to look at potentially bringing you into the program.
You kept saying holistic, and so it makes me think that admissions might also be a little bit holistic, where if someone has the work ethic,
yeah,
and if someone maybe has a background where maybe they had epilepsy, or maybe there's some reason why they're drawn to the field,
yes,
that makes it to where maybe they're not going to have a 4.0 and a perfect GRE score. So do you have to have a great GRE score?
No, in fact, we don't require students to take the GRE. And so that's a benefit for some students that might struggle with standardized testing. And to your point, we're not necessarily running people through advanced statistics and quantitative research methodology courses. Our courses are very practical, and they're for people that are passionate about mental health and disability. Some students themselves have disabilities. We are very excited if we're able to bring people into the field that they themselves have disabilities, because we feel like they're naturally able to accurately empathize with the people they're going to be working with in the future. We have a lot of people that come into the program because they have family members with disabilities and they've seen their family members go through rehab services.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, those are the people that know the most about rehab counseling because they have personal experience with it. And so they get excited and they want to see it. They want to do it themselves, right? So for us, like I said, we don't have rigorous statistical training. It is a practical degree you're coming through. So, you're getting a master's in rehab counseling. We're training you to be practitioners. We're not training you to be researchers necessarily.
So I don't need to be scared away that it's going to be too hard if I have, let's say, good grades and a strong work ethic and people skills. Because you're looking for quality people who are capable of being both a counselor and a social worker and a like career counselor, all in one.
That's 100% right.
And if you can do that, if you can work in the gray zone a little bit and understand how to learn and figure things out and work with other people to figure out the next step for someone and connect them with the right services and stay in your lane, understand your scope of practice, but also have those interpersonal skills to be an effective counselor, then you're going to be okay.
You nailed it. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
So what's the first thing that I do to find out about this?
Yeah. So the first thing to do would be to go on our website and check out the program information that we have available. I actually have a lot of the labor market information available right on our webpage. The webpage itself is a little convoluted. The easiest thing to do is to Google Kent State Clinical Rehabilitation Counseling. And after you get past the ads, it'll be the first two links. So it's very accessible. You click on that, it'll take you right to our page. It'll give you the information about what is clinical rehab counseling. It'll talk a lot about the job prospects and what clinical rehab counselors do, just like we've talked about here today. It would also be great if you have questions or want more information that individuals can reach out to me personally. I'd love to talk with anybody who might be interested in the program. I can maybe reiterate this once we're done with the conversation, but my email is mleslie, L-E-S-L-I-E, 8, at kent.edu. I'd love to set up a conversation with anybody. I'm usually happy to talk to undergrad students who might be interested about whether this might be a good fit for them.
They don't have to be from Kent State or even Ohio. If they're in Pennsylvania, New York, you don't care.
We have students from all over the country. We have international students that come in. It doesn't matter where you are. We're accepting students, and we'd love to see qualified people come into the field. For those of us in the field, our passion is for serving individuals with disabilities and providing or getting students into the professional arena that are qualified. And so we're excited. If you are excited about the field, we want to have conversations with you and talk to you about whether this would be a good fit for you, no matter where you're coming from.
So I'm now the director of clinical training for our clinical psychology PhD program.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to turn in accreditation materials every once in a while and look at our outcomes. And so I'm excited that we have just about 100% employment of our graduates, which is really cool. And that's not true for all doctoral programs, but in clinical psychology, it's just so hard to get in. And so you're telling me that this is a master's degree for which you probably have upwards of 90% employment when people graduate.
That's right.
And if people that don't find employment, it's because they're in a life situation where maybe that's not what they want right now.
Yeah, and some of our students go on to PhD programs.
It's because they're still in school?
Yes.
Or because they're in a life situation where they wanted to get the degree and maybe they're taking a couple of years and then it's like, it's not like you will not be able to find a job.
Absolutely.
There are positions.
Yeah. And you know, I didn't mention the VA. The VA is another employer for our students that is huge. You know, we have a lot of individuals that are interested in working with veterans. Actually, the rehab counseling profession was born out of working with veterans. So the Soldiers Rehab Act of 1918 was essentially what created the rehab profession in the United States, and that was with our veterans coming back from World War I. And then they found the program so successful that they expanded it to the civilian population in 1920 with the Smith-Vest Act. And so you'll see over history, as the rehab profession has grown in the United States, it's been in waves a lot of times because of the waves of veterans that have come back and they have physical disabilities, they have mental health concerns, PTSD, trauma, they want to know what to do, how to integrate back into the civilian world, right? How do I get back into civilian life? And so individuals in our field for a long time have specialized in that transition from being a soldier to transitioning back into civilian life, both from a mental health, a physical health, and an employment perspective. And we really, everything we do has been sort of transitioning those ideals into the civilian world, where, as you said, if you're in a motor vehicle accident and you can't go back to your old job, you have maybe some psychosocial, some mental health issues related to that, and you have maybe some physical disability, and you need some help with employment. So we're trained and specialized on how to do those things.
That sounds fantastic. And so just one more time, if I Google Kent State University Clinical Rehabilitation Counseling,
yep,
it will come up as the first link after the ad.
The first link after the ad.
You got it. Of course someone sponsored an ad that has to go first. So they're paying the ad bucks for that or whatever it is.
We have to keep Google running.
Yes. And your email is mleslie@kent.edu.
That's correct.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Dr. Leslie, for coming to talk to me today, because I think a lot of students don't know about this field. I did have a research assistant who got a master's degree from Kent State in clinical rehabilitation counseling, and her first job after her master's degree, she stopped working on my federal grant when she graduated, and she started working in clinical rehabilitation counseling, and this is probably 10 years ago, and immediately she was snapped up and was working in a field with people that had like motor vehicle accidents and whatnot, involved in like workers' comp and return to work, and she was overjoyed. And so it sounds like it's really rewarding. There's a high demand. And you know what feels good? What feels good is being good at something and yes, people wanting your services.
Yes.
Instead of feeling like you can't get a job.
Right. Absolutely. You nailed it.
Okay. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for the Psychology Pathways Podcast. We hope you'll join us for the next episode.
If you enjoyed the show, rate us at iTunes or Spotify and tell your friends.
Find out more at psychpathways.com. That's P-S-Y-C-H pathways.com.
And send your listener questions to psychologypathwayspodcast@gmail.com.